Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, July 13th, 2000. In the fireside room this evening, Eunice Scarf is having a session number 2013, and it is titled Story Workshop Writing Your Own: True Stories Make Good Neighbors. Let's listen in.
This is the writing class. This is a process which, if you want to write, and I think words should... I'm sorry, what did you come for? Well, you will learn something. There ain't no way you won't learn something. I shouldn't have told what we were doing. Oh, I figured the spirit moves where it will. I got to Copper Basin, and I have to tell you that I'm just a little bit proud of myself, so forgive my what might sound like arrogance and my... what's the word? The way I... telling him to open the window without saying please. It's all Copper Basin's fault. That is a very, very spiritual place. The land there is encloses you, holds you, and I always wonder what those who were on this land first, who knew enough to honor the land as the mother, what they did with places like that. They certainly didn't send in helicopters and for helicopter skiing. It was probably a site of gathering. I can't imagine it could be otherwise, that a place such as Copper Basin that holds you could have been ignored by those who understood the land as mother and as our sustenance. Copper Basin. All right, your first prompt will be that. And then I will read you one or two things, and that is a first to think about those places or times that have been of spiritual. And to me, spiritual means the unseen order. Let's just take that as your working definition tonight, where you have felt the presence, or in the presence, or something that one could only say is a manifestation of the unseen order. Well, frankly, love, the intense feelings of one person to another, is spiritual. Thank you. Because it is the unseen. Emotion is unseen. All right, so that's one manifestation. And I'll let you search for the rest. If you have some, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you don't have to worry, because there'll be another prompt. In the presence of what for you is a spiritual place, that is a connection with the unseen order. That's your prompt number one, is to write about that. The best way to do that, in my opinion, is to make a list of those times when there were inexplicable experiences you had, or instances of understanding or insight or joy, or they can be coincidence, they can be psychic, they can be pre-knowledge, they can be somebody knowing you before you meet them. That's your first prompt. The second one is a poem. Do you need paper here, you two?
Yeah.
Who else needs paper? I always bring some, you're welcome to it. You can have white or yellow. I've assumed they've stopped taping me because I pay so little attention to the tape. If you're taping, that's okay. Because I only do the 10 minutes and then we start to write. I'm Eunice Scarf, and I'm from Edmonton, Alberta, and grew up in Seattle, Washington, and came here first in 1962 when my father was engaged in conversations about whether this was going to, what this was going to be, and how it was going to be. And every time I come here, it is of spiritual experience to know that somebody's vision, which is the unseen order that you envision, has worked. And I write and teach writing and run Saga Seminars, which does workshops across North America, and teach in Edmonton, Alberta. Okay. I'm supposed to say that, aren't I? Before I start. Okay, your second prompt. First one is, I don't think I finished that. The best way to do the first one is to make a list of those moments, a circle one, and start writing about that. Then you can write about a second one. But you stir your memory by making a list. You might only have three on your list, maybe only one.
Here's pencils. Yes,
here's pens. It's all right. I've told them every day, I say we have to say to everybody, bring paper and pen, and we don't. I don't. Here's one to listen to. This is called... I'm not going to give you the title. That would ruin it, actually. The writer is Jennifer Ast. And when you hear a poem, you'll hear what you can do with it. And as soon as I finish, I'll suggest what you can do with it. This is how her piece goes. It was a place of childhood memories, of warmth and love and cherry blossoms in the summertime. It was a place of two grandmothers, separate but together. It was a place of swimming pools and picnic lunches, of suntan lotion and lemonade. It was a place I remember fondly, but mocked as I grew older, for it was a place that wasn't cool, a place that people looked down upon. It was Hicktown, Regina, Saskatchewan. It was a place my brother and I laughed about, but the place where we laughed the most. It was a place of gardens and fresh vegetables, of uncles and aunts and family. It was a place of cold ice cream on the couch where I sat covered in blankets. It was a place of pink camé soap and blue Calgon bath powder, of music boxes and jewelry. It was a place of blue chlorine water in plastic boats, of white mint candies and hopscotch. It was a place of big trees and green steps that I loved to sit on. It was a place of checkers and coloring books, of white cream cookies with jelly in the center, of cranberry juice in my favorite cup. It was a place we went to every summer, the streets all quiet and the grass all green. It was a place of family picnics in the park down the street from Benica's house. It was a place I will always cherish, the place I didn't think I would. Your invitation is to use it was a place. It can be a home you lived in, a city you lived in, a holiday you had, or a relationship even. It was a place of safety. It was a place of play. It was a place of, you can go back to childhood, you can go to adulthood. But the invitation is to stay at least for half a dozen lines with one place. Some people reverse this and go a different place in every line. That's okay too. There are no rules here. You're simply invited to write whatever stirred in memory or imagination as you hear these words. Anything you want repeated? I think that one's fairly straightforward. And then I'm looking for one more. And the one I'm looking for is called The Promise. Oh, this one's fun. I'll give you about four. Let's do number three. Number three. You understand you're getting wildly different prompts the minute I say go pick anything and start. It's like a smorgasbord. I like this one. We did this in class once. First encounter with a therapist. That's your prompt. First encounter with a therapist. Of course, you can always make it up. If you don't have one in memory, you can invent the story. You can ignore this prompt. But this was what was written to this assignment, five lines. It was our first session, and as it turned out, our only session. I could see him only from the waist up. He sat behind a desk. He wore a blue Oxford shirt, and Dr. James Murphy was stitched in dark blue across the chest of his gray coat. He sat behind a large mahogany, paper-piled desk, and in a slightly bored, slightly disdainful tone, said to me, who was 19 at the time, "Isn't it rather immature to want to be a cheerleader?" It's supposed to be funny. So she was probably talking about her hopes and dreams, and the doctor says, "Isn't that terribly immature?" This is why it was the only visit she had.
You could see that one.
Some people made this into when we had this first and last encounter with the therapist you had first and last encounter. All right, I'd like to read you one more, and then our writing time will start. What should we do? I may read you two. I always want to give you enough. I think I'll do this one. No, I can tell that I have to do both. If you're ready to write...
That's okay.
This is called Why I Moved to Alberta. And she gives all the reasons why she did, and then all the reasons why she left. And it goes like this. Because you gave me a single red rose the first time we met. Because your beckoning sky was so much higher than mine in Ontario. Because everyone said in Alberta it's a dry cold. Because you grabbed my hand and said, "We have to dance." Because you kicked your dog off the bed to make room for me. Because you said, "You never have to do anything you don't want to." because you made us popcorn at midnight, because you said watching me sleep made you cry, because you said you wanted to grow old with me, I said yes and moved to Alberta. 2 years later, because you always had to do the driving, because you decided Valentine's Day was no big deal, because you started telling me what to wear and how to wear it, because you almost slapped me once in the kitchen, didn't you? Admit it. Because you stopped coming home at night, because you refused to explain where you've been, because you insisted she was just a friend, because I had to sign for the flowers she sent to you at our apartment, because I found the letters hidden inside your knapsack, because you said you still wanted to grow old with me, I said no, and I left Alberta. So that's a choice there, because and all the reasons you did something, all the reasons, and I said yes comes at the end. Or I came here to hold him because I wanted to get away, because I couldn't stand my family, because that was a free trip, because I came here. Do you see how that works? Just one other line in case you want something very concrete. And it goes like this. In my childhood, there were no cousins, no aunts, no uncles, no grandparents, not in the flesh, that is. The ones who still survived lived far away in other countries. I used to wonder about their lives. And then she goes in and describes each of them. So this is into family, if you wish to do the family portrait. It's time to start writing. And the next sentence or two, after you finish the next sentence or the second sentence, draw a line. This is like going fishing. You don't know what you're going to get. I call this search and rescue writing into your memory. See what you find there. This is not the kind of writing the English teacher corrects. This is first draft. It is one way of finding out what rhythm you write in, what style you write in, what voice you write in, what subjects interest you, whether you like to invent or whether you like to write from memory. And the people I work with, we work 10, 20, 30 weeks, and they go away and continue. Under the line, please answer the question, or please write. While I was writing, I was thinking, answer this question. What were you thinking or feeling while you were writing? What were you thinking? You can think a mile a minute while you're writing on something totally off the subject. What were you thinking about while you were writing? What were you feeling? Neither your thoughts nor your feelings might have showed up on the page. You make a comment back to yourself here. The writer's job is a solitary one. This is me, myself, and I, talking to myself. How do I feel about what was I feeling when I just did this? What was I thinking? Very often, you hatch something new in these two or three sentences, a new direction. My entire purpose with writers is to generate new material. That's the job of a writer, to generate new text. And this is one way of always generating more, is to comment to yourself. Very often the story that's really sitting there like a bomb kind of casts a shadow on the page but hasn't showed up on the page yet. Okay, could you please turn to your neighbor? These are telegrams. Each get 30 seconds and tell your neighbor what you did. Don't read to them, but where did you go in this piece of writing? What happened to you? Say anything you like, but you only get two sentences. Two for you and two for you, and then come back to me. Okay, there's two. You four somehow, you four. Two. You just tell the person what you did, where you went with them. What'd you write about?
I'm going to go to the next one. two stars make good neighbors.
Yep.
That's the one they interviewed.
You see, the thing is, those are kind of things that writers have said about writing. So in addition, I do a prompt. Okay, let's come back together again. And I ask you, whoever would like to read. And this is what we do when somebody reads. Those of you sitting there, please put the person's name down and get one phrase or line that you like. Write it down. Because as soon as the person has read, we just echo their words back to them, say thanks, and go on to the next person. I'm asking you to listen for lines you like the sound of. I like. But you won't even say, I like. You'll just give the words that you heard back to the person. Who'd like to read first?
I'll go.
Who is I'll go?
Kathleen.
Kathleen and then Gail. Okay. And let's take number three and number four. Who's number three up here? Give me your name.
Pat.
Pat. Number four?
Fran.
Back there, okay. And then we'll start again for calling for papers, names. So please give your name, and we write that down, and get one quote from her. That's all you have to do, and listen. Okay.
Kathleen, I moved away from the big city because I wanted to live in the country, because I was tired of the noisy city, because I like small towns, because I grew up in a small town, because I found a house I absolutely loved, because I wouldn't mind the 110-mile drive several times a week, because I was already acquainted with people there, because I wanted a quieter place. I moved back to the city because it wasn't quiet, because I didn't like the noisy, drunken neighbors, because I didn't like the woman across the street who wrote hellfire and brimstone letters to convert me and left them in my post box. I didn't like not seeing my husband work in the city, because I like large cities, because the house I loved needed a lot of work, because a 110-mile drive to the city and back took too much of my time, because the people I got acquainted with seemed provincial, because they didn't find a quieter place.
It sounds like you had fun writing that. Kathy, would you mind telling us what this place was? I forbid any of you to ask questions about. We don't discuss, but I get to break the rules. So. Where was this place? Let's give us the state.
There we are.
Minnesota.
Yes.
And then Minneapolis.
And then this small town, can we hear that? Let's make names.
Toward the north, it's called Bram.
Okay. Thank you. I really like this. Finding out.
I like the world.
Okay, a line back for Kathleen, please. She went fast. You may not have gotten one. Did you hear any lines?
I absolutely loved, matched with needed a lot of work. Absolutely noisy. Loved.
110-mile drive.
Noisy, drunken neighbor.
Yeah.
Hellfire and brimstone neighbors.
Yeah. Because it wasn't quiet. This is a piece to put in a newspaper, you know, and one of those. Almost every newspaper has a personal part of the newspaper where you can submit things. The small town, the big city. Because, it's finished. I dare you. You don't have to name the town.
I dare you.
Okay, thank you, Kathleen. I'd read that to half a dozen people, probably send it to the Hellfire and Brimstone lady. You didn't ask for her letter, she won't ask for this one.
Put it in her mailbox.
I believe in communication between you. Send me one, I'll send you one. Okay, who's next? Over here, Gail.
Okay.
Gail is G-A-Y, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
G-A-Y-L-E. Thank you, Gail. Now, take it slowly, so we get it all.
It's a place where love begins and hatred ends. It's a gray stone house where spirituality lingers and evil thoughts are diminished. It's where I savor sobriety and addiction turns sour. It's where my mail comes to instead of the local shelter. It's a place of peace, seldom hostility. It's a place where I am one with God instead of side by side with the devil. It's a place where backyard laughter takes hold of the raccoons and possums. It's where my prayers are said and sweet dreams are endured.
This place is. Do you mind telling us? You don't have to.
My house in Chicago.
My house in Chicago.
It's a recovery home in Chicago.
Okay. In Chicago. That's a piece to put on the wall. There, I mean. You know, you can type these up in bold face.
Well, I titled it First Encounter as a Resident.
Okay. It's fine. You've gotten a lot of details there come through. Let's hear what they are. Words back to Gail.
It's a place where I'm one with God instead of side by side with the devil.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Where my mail comes.
That's what's the definition of home where my mail comes? That's okay.
Seldom hostility.
Mm-hmm.
Where my prayers are said.
Where my prayers are said. If you have things to add to that, Gail, do I see this on a poster?
Kind of, yeah.
That you can think about this the next day or two. You've got this format. It's like a magnet looking for words. It's a place where.
Well, below the line I never had a house. And it's a 3-story gravestone with about 20 rooms. And I'm not alone. And now I am someone, and it's a place I call home.
It's a place where you've got community as well. Not a room in an apartment house, an apartment in a large building.
Okay, well, I have to deal with eight other women.
Yeah, we heard that. I have to deal with the people in my home. I have to deal with. Okay, that's a prompt for all of you.
Yeah.
Who is it you have to deal with under the same roof? Okay, we're not going that direction. That's just a possible thing for August 2nd.
The one that I don't get along with at home, my roommate's with her here, and she locked me out of the room with a walk home, so I couldn't get in my room.
Oh, this is interesting. This is a story too. Yes.
Okay. So it's funny.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you, thank you.
I'm glad you're laughing about it.
I am, because I think it's really funny that she has to be this negative towards me. It's really funny.
Have you gotten back in the room?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Finally, I got back in the room.
Okay. Thank you,
Gail.
You
can hear her snoring over everybody else, but she was up in the door.
Number three.
That's me. I'm Pat. It was a place my father converted from a garage for his family of five. When we moved to Enderlin, because that's where his new job was, there was no house available until his new boss offered him a garage if he wanted to fix it up. So my father, formerly a carpenter, agreed. He made 2 bedrooms, one for himself and my mother, and one for us 3 children. The kitchen was at one end of the remaining space, the living room at the other. My mother painted her kitchen and living room blossom pink, a color we all tried to achieve by mixing our Sunday morning strawberries and cream. This place held everything I needed, a spacious home peopled by those most important to me, a very large vegetable garden, a lovely soft dry dirt driveway suitable for riding my trike, a tractor tire sandbox, and at the end of the driveway on the other side of the street, the big tree. Children from the entire neighborhood met to climb the big tree.
You're just getting going, aren't you? What's below the line?
Yes. What's below the line? Humorous pleasure, and maybe I should have tried a different prompt.
Oh, maybe you should have tried a different prompt. Let's hear what we heard from it, and we'll tell you how much sunk in this wrong prompt you took. Yes, go on.
This place held everything I needed. Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning, strawberries and cream. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The big tree.
My mother painted the kitchen blossom pink.
And we all tried, honestly, we all tried to
achieve
it by mixing our strawberries. That was just great. Good job.
This is an important prompt. Yes, maybe you wanted to try a different prompt. But the place where the family began or grew up generates an enormous amount of story. You can go into each room. In the first room, in the first bedroom, who lived, who stayed, what memories do you have? In the second bedroom. Then you can write this in your mother's voice, and your mother can talk and say, I hated that pink. You know, it was the cheapest one, however, at the paint shop that day, whatever. But let her give her story, even if you don't know how she felt about it. You can make it up. I always invite people to go into fiction, which means inventing. So I'm not really asking you to lie. I'm asking you to invent. Just fiction. Thank you, Pat. I had the big tree as well. But you can get a whole thing here and ask, do you have siblings who live there?
Yeah.
Well, then you ask them each to write their version of living in that house. And you make a package, you got a book. This kind of thing makes a great present, is to Xerox off materials that people have gathered together. You've gathered together, bind it, and books that are made, homemade and given away, I think are a major thing for you to consider.
What do you have that you can gather together that's a gift for someone else? Information, and I call this information about a house, that other people who live there can be invited to join in, or given your version of it. Draw the house. You can do a whole lot with it. Okay, thank you, Pat. Who's next? Number four.
It was a place that...
This is Fran.
Fran, I'm sorry. It was a place that my uncle built for my father and mother and where they lived when they were first married. It was a place where my father started a tree nursery that supported us and them all their lives. It was a place where four children were born and raised, where walking among the trees gave birth to fantasies and dreams. It was a place where we had horses and where I often climbed to the top of the haystack and lay on my back watching the clouds as they moved across a blue sky and dreamed of growing up and leaving home. It was a place where my sister and I learned to mother by taking care of a baby brother. It was a place that had a wonderful attic filled with enchanting and mysterious relics of the past, and where my brothers and I made model airplanes on old trucks. It was a place where my immigrant parents often entertained Danish friends with their luscious dinners, pastries, and the grown-ups drank coffee, beer, and akavi. It was a place I'd like to return to.
We need to know the place. Remember in this one she says it was a place I never thought I would. Her title, by the way, was Regina, Saskatchewan. So at some point in her place, a place I'd like to return to, colon, it was, can you give us the name?
It was a rural area in Illinois. Is that enough?
No.
Town.
Does it have a town's name?
Yes.
Then you give it to us.
Glenview.
You can't imagine how many times I've been teaching and somebody says Glenview, Illinois, and somebody over here says, oh, my uncle lives there, and it
really?
Turns out to be your neighbor. I mean, if you don't want people to connect with you, don't mention the town. Glenview, Illinois. Danish, give us some more of the Danish foods. When they serve food, it's one way, if we're Danish, if we've had any Danish food, if you name any three of the foods that were served on the table, our mouths start watering. You connect with us. Can you give me one Danish dish that was served? You said aquavita, I like that. No, I like aquavita, I like your saying it.
It was called liver pastai, which is a liver paste.
And use the Danish,
right.
If it's Danish foods. We don't.
Right.
We can guess.
Right, and let's see, all the pastries I'm trying to think. Sardines, a lot of fish.
Herring.
Herring.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, you got enough. Yeah, make a list of all the Danish foods your mother made. That
okay.
goes in the story.
Right.
Okay, words for Fran. Thank you, Fran. What's below the line first?
As I was writing this, I was thinking that I remember more of my childhood than I thought I did. And I was feeling warmed by my memories, but sad that I didn't appreciate those years more when I lived there.
That's the nature of childhood. You were normal. Do you want to be abnormal? Do any of you know the play Our Town? And Emily is given a day. She says she dies young, which I think she dies in childbirth. I want to go back, I want to go back. And on the stage, all the chairs are filled with the dead of the town.
Right.
And they say, you don't want to go back. It's as if they're rocking. And she says, yes, I do, just once. Well, we can let you go back, but you won't want to. Yes, I do. And she gets one day, and the major theme there is I didn't appreciate it. And they say, well, no, of course not. No, it's not the nature of childhood to say, well, I really appreciate it. No, you live it. Thank you, Fran. Words for Fran.
Aqua vita, because I have no idea what it is.
Is it vodka? Is it like vodka?
I don't know. It's a strong liqueur.
It's drunk straight, and you can put it in the freezer and it doesn't freeze.
You usually drink it after beer, or beer chaser, I guess, or something like that.
The Danes do this.
Yeah,
I don't know
right.
if anybody else does this. Aqua vita and beer. How many of you are Danish and done this little combination? Here's one. You put aquavit in the freezer and keep it cold and never freeze. There's enough alcohol in there. Be sure to have it with pickled herring. Very strong. Aquavit. Aqua meaning water. Vit meaning water of life. Vit means life, so water of life they called it. What are other words for Fran?
Gave birth to fantasies and dreams.
Mm-hmm. Climbed to the top of the haystack.
Made model airplanes on old trunks.
Laid on our backs watching clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois is flat as a pancake. Nothing. If you lie flat, you get the whole bowl of sky, don't you? Mm-hmm. It's a very special image. Any other words? I consider this a big, important one for family, Fran, where I grew up. You can add the neighbors if you like. It's where it's a place where the neighbors were made with names like Thorvaldsen or whatever it was. Okay. Thank you, Fran. Who's next? Is that four?
Yeah, that's four.
And you?
No, there was four.
Okay, so any more volunteers who'd like to read? One here, and you number two. Number three? One of you two.
I can't, that's fine.
When we get to number four, you can decide. Okay. Let's go back here. Give us your name, please.
Bonnie. It was a place I went to every summer with my mother. It was a place my grandfather used to live, but now only visited with us. It was a place very hot, with very hot weather and dusty streets. It was a place of the good of water and the fish's peak, as my grandfather always said. It was a place of outhouses and metal bathtubs and coal oil lamps. It was a place of grasshoppers. It was a place of train tracks at the front door and engineers who blew the whistle just for you. It was a place of stray kittens and my grandfather's Model T Ford. It was a place of sunshine and flash floods and coal. It was a place of wonderful smells on a hot summer evening. It was a place of swings in the old schoolyard and walking home in the warm dusk air. It was an enchanted place, the place I loved best at 4 years old.
Can you tell us where?
Starkville, Colorado.
Okay. Work that in somehow. Remember, she says it was a place we thought we'd never love because it was Hicktown, Regina, Saskatchewan. You can work it in somehow. But, you know, if this is an old boyfriend you're writing about and you're afraid he's going to read it or you know his wife or something, you know, you hide the name. But a place is not going to get you in an embarrassing situation. Give us the place. As a writer, you want to connect. Starkville, Colorado. What's below the line, Bonnie?
Happy memories, warm, magical, reliving my young childhood.
Okay. Words for Bonnie.
Metal bathtubs and coal oil lamps.
Model T Ford.
Engineers who blew the whistle just for you.
Everybody's pen went up there. Engineers who blew the whistle just for you. Hands of how many have had that happen to them? Woo!
No, that's my hand.
Oh, sorry, no. How many of you in real life have had an engineer blow a whistle just for you? Well, that's a story. That's an assignment. It's a prompt for July 29th. I believe in a prompt a day and a page a day. Do it first thing in the morning or last thing at night or while you're riding a bus, but they are fragments, like pieces of patchwork over in the hall that you can write and write and write. Some of those fragments are like doing piano lessons, scales. You know, you're just practicing, you're just thinking out loud on the page. And every once in a while you hatch something which is going to be used for something else. Half the writing you do is for your eyes only, half of it's for being heard elsewhere, being read elsewhere. Words for Bonnie. More.
Place of sunshine and flash floods.
Stray kittens. Place of grasshoppers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, your daughter's heard it, right? You are. Are there more members of the family that? Are there more members of the family?
There are more members of the family.
Okay. Well, then I'd say every one of them deserves to hear.
It's funny. What did your grandfather say about the place? I couldn't write it down because I couldn't write good water.
The good water and the Fisher's Peak. That was the peak that he saw from his window.
Okay.
He thought he was in heaven there.
It's a very important piece. You get pictures of that. You put your piece with it. Has your daughter ever visited there?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Bonnie. We're going like this because I like to hear a lot of yours. If you come to class in Edmonton, Alberta, you have to sit here for 2.5 hours. We take a break in the middle, and we do a whole lot more talking of text and shaping of it. But here we're doing first draft. Number two, after Bonnie.
I'm sorry. My name is Jim. There was a place of childhood refuge, 200-acre farm near Galleon, Ohio. Many buildings, fascinating machinery, animals galore, things to discover. But refuge was none of these, at first at least. Rather, it was the welcome and love and space to grieve my mother's death. I was 7. Their names were Ruth and Lowell, Garda and Kurt, great aunts and uncles, all 4. In their presence, I felt safe and secure, healing slowly, but for sure. It was a place that came to be my first choice and planted dream. When not helping with chores, there was the creek. That's Midwestern for stream. Crawdads under rocks, dragonflies on a stick, and swimming in the nude. It was a place that opened my future to vocation, to hobby, to habit, to treasured memories. Time and circumstances took me from the farm, the place. But the place has never been extracted from me.
Words for Jim. Oh, first, below the line, Jim.
Oh, I had so many memories flowing that I obviously couldn't sort them. I couldn't even say them either.
Words back for Jim, so we can hear the echo of what was said. Planted dreams. Pardon?
Planted dreams.
Planted dreams.
Is that it?
Planted dreams.
Mm-hmm. That was a phrase that came out. I don't know what it means either.
Sometimes
I'm not questioning it. I just didn't hear it. Like
sometimes we're not supposed to.
Healing slow but sure.
I heard that.
Mm-hmm. A place of refuge, a place to be my mother's death.
Great aunts and uncles, all 4, did you say? So you hear great in 2 different ways. It could be a great aunt, but also a great person, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Space to grieve.
Place to grieve?
A place that has never been extracted from me.
Mm-hmm.
Animals galore.
Did we hear where the place was, I asked you? Anybody here, any clue of where this is geographically?
Somewhere
I missed
Ohio.
It.
Somewhere
said,
Ohio.
Said.
Okay. I maintain we don't hear and you don't hear everything. The first time, it's part of why we feed it back, because I missed Ohio completely. I was writing it. Okay, Ohio.
First line.
Mm-hmm. Say it again, then.
You hadn't checked in yet, had you?
Okay.
It was a place of childhood refuge, 200-acre farm near Galleon, Ohio.
You know, I heard Galleon, and I got stuck, not stuck, I got hooked on refuge.
Mm-hmm.
When it was, you could have it, you can write a memoir of refuge.
Mm-hmm.
Call it refuge. Call the town refuge.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking of how much possibility there was there. I never heard Ohio.
I confess.
That's an important piece, Jim. And it's clean in the way we were talking about the other day. It's clean, it's factual, descriptive, but you get a larger and larger picture. Hold on to that. Type it up. It goes to the grandson you read about the other night. It's a gift to him. This is where your grandpa grew up.
Right.
Oh, I start pushing you so hard. If you stay more than an hour, I'm saying, oh, who are you going to write this for? Where are you going to send this out to? Who are you going to write again? It's a good thing you only have an hour. Who's next? That was number 2, I think.
I think I have.
Over here.
Over here. And I'm Ruth.
Ruth. Mm-hmm. Please put a name down. As soon as you get a phrase from Ruth, then you can put your pen down. You only need 1. You do really well for being the end of the day. I want to congratulate you. You've all been busy all day, and you've still generated a page of text. Ruth, remember it really loudly.
I even started to learn the Swedish language 3 years ago because I had become so caught up in my heritage after my first seeing my father's homeland 5 visits ago. I went on my initial visit
primarily to see the place of his birth near Lerbro on the limestone island of Gotland out in the Baltic Sea. It still reeks of medieval antiquity. Its main city, Visby, is surrounded by a wall, feudal times wall, upon which roses climb. The City of Roses, they call it, and the roses were in bloom when I returned to it this past summer. It is difficult to imagine that the small white house where he was born once sheltered his parents, his two brothers, and four sisters. The doorways were low. My dad was 6'2". The small fireplace must have strained to warm the four small rooms. Where did everyone sleep? That's part of it.
Good place, Tim. Where did everyone sleep? What's below the lime roof?
Well, sentiment, remembering my heritage.
What's the feeling down there? What do you feel?
Well, it's warm and sometimes rather bittersweet. Mm.
Sadness?
Some, because of things, some of the things I knew would happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what some of those things you know go down on paper.
Yeah,
that you have. Okay.
Yeah.
Words for Ruth.
My father's homeland.
Mm-hmm. Medieval antiquity.
Out in the Baltic.
Out in the Baltic on Gotland. You gave us the place.
Feudal wall which rose. Mm-hmm.
The small fireplace must have strained to warm the four small rooms, was it? The small fireplace must have strained to warm the four small rooms.
Fireplace, she's talking.
Yes.
Doorways were low. My grandfather was 6 foot. You might paint this or draw it, put pictures in with it.
I mean, it took a lot of things.
I bet you did. pull a few out and put this piece with it. Okay. Sweden. Ohio? Sweden, Chicago, Colorado,
yes.
Illinois, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Where else are we going? You were in North Dakota?
Yeah.
Missed that.
I didn't say it, I said Enderlin.
Okay. Who's next? Thank you, that's Ruth.
One of those two.
Either way.
Apparently, I am.
Well, maybe you'll have both. This is always optional, but you see what happens. By and large, it's been pretty painless, hasn't it, anybody?
I think this belongs to the half of my writing that is for my eyes only. But I'll read.
Well, you read only if you want to. This is an invitation. Okay.
It was a place that we stared at stars. Because there was nothing else to do in that small Minnesota town.
It was a place we stared at.
Stars.
That's what I thought you said, okay.
Because there was nothing else to do in that small Minnesota town. It was a place that we were still a family, because time and night yet split our roads. It was a place that my grandma would hold me in her arms, because we were both comforted. It was a place I began to understand God, because I was staring at his creation. It was a place my brother and I walked the tightrope on that old wooden fence, because we were not afraid. It was a place that we both got hurt, because we fell. It was a place that I had dreams, because I believed I could do anything. It was a place that I got to know Jesus, because I opened up my heart. It was a place that my parents told me my friend had died, because somebody had to. It was a place we grilled burgers, because we were hungry.
I don't think this is for your eyes alone, but of course I'd never express an opinion. What's below the line?
I just wrote that it was warm and comforting to bring back good memories.
Okay. Couple of questions I'm going to fire at you. Do you do other writing? Are you two know each other?
Yeah.
You want staff? You came together here.
I'm his youth director.
You are? Oh, so he's in charge of you.
It's a little more.
Yeah,
he's also my friend.
Are you on staff or visiting here?
Visiting.
Okay, because people come in new every day, and I try to keep up. Okay, did you come in today?
Sunday.
And Sunday. All right. Do you do other writing? Do you?
I write music.
Yeah. Okay.
So
this is an important piece. This is an important piece. All of you who did it was a place. To me, those are pivotal moments. I don't know how... You're like anchors. That's where you came from. You've named the place. I'd hold on to that. It's not just for your eyes. It's for any other one in the family that was in that place. And you can add to these. These are, you know, I often talk about writing what we do here as the big closed accordion. And you can add a line after the second line and another paragraph and expand on. You have someone telling you about the death of a friend. That is, could be lifted out and could be a whole story that comes after. You know, when I talk about patchwork quilts, you've got the one about the place, and then another piece of the patchwork is what must have been very painful. The death of a friend, am I right? That was your friend, yeah, right. And your parents told you about, all right. Very, very important. Hold on to it. To me, it's like drawing a fence around the place you came from. You can add more details. Okay, well, I think we agreed, didn't we, that you're both reading?
Nope.
Would you like to read what's below the line?
No.
Would you like to... Any comment? Okay, would you like to read the first sentence and then we promise to tell you if it's really boring or really bad? This is optional. And you can say no. Most of the time I teach my classes to say no the first class. Like, no, no way, just not at all, no. I don't want to write. That was good. Okay, then all I ask is that you read it to somebody in the next 24 hours.
I'll read it to this.
That'd be fine. Then you're done. We're done with you. Don't read aloud if you're not really comfortable doing so. But always, I say, in this kind of writing, try to find somebody else who will just say, thanks for reading to me. Not critique it, not analyze you, not comfort you, not, what's the word, give you advice. Just say thank you. Who's next? Will you go then? Because you're sitting next to him, he won't. We'll have another voice from this corner.
Okay.
Can we have your name? Bonnie's daughter.
Yeah. It's Caroline.
These are all flying leaps of faith. First of all, to write. Second of all, to read aloud. So thank you, Caroline.
It was a place of uniform buildings. It was a place of children running in the park. It was a place of experimenting with homemade tofu no one would eat. It was a place of potlucks and kefir. It was a place where everyone had fun. It was a place of community and laughter. It was a place with trips to the bagel shop and the best croissants you can buy. It was a place I felt safe at and only truly appreciated later in life. It is no longer a place. And only memories keep it alive.
Okay. What's below the line, if you'd like to read?
I was thinking about how much I miss the community mm-hmm. aspect of being around there. And the fun I had as a child, it was called the Amazon, actually. It was mm-hmm. in Eugene, Oregon, so mm-hmm. you know. It was, and I was thinking about how much I missed really good croissants. I haven't had really good croissants since I was there, so.
Okay. And, you know, those points you made at the end, if you choose to put this in a computer or rewrite it, you could add the croissants. It was a place of the best croissants. I don't remember if it was in there. Did I miss that?
No.
It was?
Yeah.
I think I'm having trouble hearing tonight. And it's a copper basin. It was all visual today. Okay, words for, because, Caroline.
Was it potlucks and croissants?
Potlucks and kefir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with kefir.
It's, you can get it at health food stores a lot. It's kind of like this yogurt. It's like thin yogurt and you drink it. It's really good. Well, I like it, some people don't, but.
It's no longer a place. That one intrigued me. Mm-hmm. A place that is no longer. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Only memories keep it alive.
Trips to the bagel shop and the best croissants you can buy.
Yeah, I hear bagel and I don't hear the rest. I know what's happening. It's ahead in summer.
Okay, so community and laughter.
Yeah. The forum tonight is on community. Did they announce that? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about a writing community or how a writing community works. And when we use the word community, it's a place where you're known, for starters, where you're known or welcomed or expected, or your story's known. And I think that's part of how you meant community there. Can I hear what the first paragraph from you? Because you bought a special notebook to write in. And are you going to read a paragraph tonight?
I think I'm going to recite.
Ah, okay. Got to do it quick because we got Vespers. Let's come in late to Vespers. The last minute to Vespers.
Mine is really short.
Okay, you can read the whole thing. Yes.
Because otherwise it won't make any sense.
Give us your name.
Lisa. Shivering, stressed, tired. These were the emotions that seemed to be draining my weary soul. And I was a Christian camp program director. All these thoughts raced through my mind as I sat in what was to become the place that is most treasured in my heart. It was as if a puzzle piece had been filled that makes me who I am. One night a week, our camp staff would herd the middle school kids onto a hot, cramped bus. But the dust was worse. It clung to our sweaty bodies on the gravel road. Our destination, an old Episcopalian mission church on the Cheyenne Reservation in South Dakota. Before going into worship, we would tell stories of the Sioux, a proud community that left a legacy of oral tradition. The church had been hammered and chiseled out of rock, and the stone blocks were stacked on top of one another, thus the name Stone Church. Every week from the start to the end of the summer, a miracle seen and unseen took place in that church. A gust of wind blew through me, I believe the Holy Spirit. A boy that was too cool for school, who would break down in tears. A boy that felt unconditional love for the first time. This was a place where grace was captured within four stone walls. My shivers, stress, and tired bones gradually melted into warmth, a serene calmness, and rested body. Just another unseen spiritual blessing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for reading. Anything below the line?
Nostalgia and loss.
And in the beginning, I heard some question about, I was the youth director, but I was tired.
That I was so wiped out.
Right, there's more story there.
Yeah.
Write about that. Write about it as honestly as you can. What drained you? What puzzled you? What took your energy? Anytime you're in a role, there's the self and there's the role. And they are very demanding. And how does one integrate? When you're young, it's a balancing act. Write about it a lot. And the more any youth director talks to another youth director responsible for children with the goals of community within that church, the more you talk to each other, I think, the better we all are, having been there. Let's hear yours. I think we can manage it.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to hear this, we promise.
Lily's one better. It's pretty short, I read fast.
Okay, here we're gonna go.
Yes.
If you have to go, but if you can stay, stay.
Okay. Because it told me thin was success, because I believed I could suppress my emotions, because the mirror's lies were truth, because the cuts relieved pain, because it told me perfection was the only option, because I ignored the doctors, friends, and family, because forcing myself not to live won out. I said yes. Sorry.
That's okay.
Because my body refused to handle starvation, because my emotions were screaming to be heard, because I could not put myself off anymore, because I needed peace, because I knew I inevitably had to face it, because I wanted my life back, and I said no.
It's an important piece. Have you written about it before? Yeah.
I think what was below the line maybe is what needs to be written about more. Do you want to read that part too?
Yes, if you want.
Well, first I thought I was thinking how crazy my life has been for the past 5 years. I was thinking I'm not going to read this out loud. And then I was thinking how I don't still know if I totally wanted to say no. It's probably what I should write about more.
Yeah.
I just didn't hear that last one?
I was thinking I still don't know if I totally wanted to say no.
Yeah. I'd like to hear that again.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear that again, the way of entry into there. And always when I hear you speaking, not for yourself, I also hear you speaking for others whose stories I've heard in my classes. So sometimes, that's why I said to you, the others who have been in front of the burnout, stressed out, The more you tell your story, the more you hear a story, the more the story is told communally. So, catch me. Tomorrow I'm here. One more class tomorrow is at 10...
Is it 3:45?
We will have one tomorrow.
Yeah. They just put it on the board. I was supposed to leave tomorrow, but I get a better ride out of here on Saturday, so I'm staying. Besides, I have to hear Ingrid preach. So let's get to chapel. And thank you, everybody. Any one of you can stop me during the day if there's something that's shown up in your work you want to talk about. Yep, I do. This is a nice one right here.
$10?
Yep.
Where did I get these pencils from?
I don't know, not me. They'll come to you.